Lay down, my dear brother, lay down and take your rest. Oh, won't you lay your head.
Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Before the break, we got some insight into the short films showing at the Milwaukee Film Festival. At least one feature film also showing has the distinction of starting out as a short, which opened at Sundance a few years ago.
AWOL tells the story of Joey, a woman who seeks a different life than what her small Pennsylvania town offers. A visit to the Army recruiting office seems to present a way out, but a relationship with an older woman, who happens to be married with children, changes her path.
AWOL is a lesbian romance that straddles the conflicts and realities of love and those of small-town life along the poverty line.
Director and screenwriter Deb Chauval will be in Milwaukee tonight for AWOL's first showing at the Oriental Theater. Ahead of that, she joined me on the phone to talk about the film and why she decided to expand on her successful short.
AWOL the Short was a very small movie we made in a matter of a couple of days in winter of 2010, shot in Pennsylvania near where I grew up, which is near the city of Wilkes-Barre, a sort of old coal town. And it was about a young woman named Joey who comes home from the Army, coming home at Christmas time for a break, and she wants to run away to Canada with her sort of secret older girlfriend who's married with kids. And the short was very successful, much more than was at all my intention. It premiered at Sundance, and it went on to play really all over the world. And I felt at the time like, you know, the short is really sort of an abbreviated act two and act three. It's missing an act one. You know, it doesn't explain anything about how Raina and Joey met and fell in love. Why did Joey join the Army? And so I got together with a co-writer named Carolina McClowiak, and we really laid out the plot for a full-length feature that would allow us to ask, you know, answer those act one questions and also to just develop Joey's world further, her relationship with her mother, her relationship with her sister and brother-in-law, just kind of fill out her world and so we could understand better who she is and why she's making the decisions that she's making.
Outside of being able to extend that story a little bit, what other great opportunities did making this into a feature present?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, it was amazing to work with such great actors, I have to say. Brita Wool was the one actress who we kept from the short through the feature. You might know her now from this series called Unreal. But for all the other main roles, we recast and went with a much more professional, you know, I guess, you know, people, it was amazing. You know, we have Lola Kirk, who is on Mozart in the Jungle now and about to be in a movie with Tom Cruise, and she did Mistress America, and all of the supporting characters. And, you know, directing professional actors is very exciting because a lot of times you get what you want on the first or second take, and then you have all this time to say, okay, let's try something different, or was there a way you wanted to try it? You know, and so there can be sort of this romance about directing non-actors because there can be this authenticity, but a lot of times it can also be very challenging to just get the performances that you know you're going to need in the editing room, much less a few other options. So I would say that was one of the really exciting things about the feature, was just the talent. Also, shooting in my hometown was wonderful. People were so welcoming. You know, we shot at a local farm and two local fairs and a local ice cream parlor. And so all of that for me personally was really fun.
Was it also a good change of pace and challenge to wear both hats of director and writer?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of independent filmmakers are writers and directors, and it makes sense because you want to feel that every word that you're directing is authentic. So it makes sense to have been the writer. And so in that sense, I think co-writing is really sort of the best of both worlds because all along you're getting feedback and maybe better decisions from the co-writers. And also we had some great script consultants as well. But we always knew that I'd be the one directing it. And so I needed to really believe every word of the script. And that was true for the lead actresses too. They would give me feedback and we made changes based on times that they said it. You know, I'm just confused why she does that then, or I don't know that that's the language she would use, or why would she be wearing that outfit? You know, anything.
Well, and I think that really comes through in the film, because with you shooting in your hometown, there's that extra sense of personal investment. But most films will shoot rural America in a real, you know, gritty, grimy way. You know, it kind of had an inkling of Winter's Bone elements of like having the army as your main other option than staying in town and just kind of the characters here. But in your movie, it's really, it has that toughness, but it's also really tender. So with your experience growing up in that town, what parts of your childhood and your life living there did you want portrayed in that film?
What I was mostly trying to communicate is that we have these post-industrial areas all over the East, at least, where really there hasn't been an economy in years, right? We haven't had coal since before the 70s in any real sizable way. And so there's a tremendous disparity of wealth. There's a lot of, you know, stratifications. Even you can really see between Joey, who's really from this working class Catholic family, and Raina, who really lives on the edges of Appalachia in poverty. And so what I wanted to depict was sort of all those classes that coexist in such a small area. And it was exciting. You know, we premiered at Tribeca, so that was in April, and it was right around the sort of height of Bernie Sanders' campaign. And the timing was perfect because people were really talking about class and disparity of wealth in this country in a way that hadn't happened so publicly, I think, ever, at least in my lifetime. And so the subtext of the film and the themes in the film felt very timely. And a lot of people were talking about the fact that, yes, it's a love story, but it's also really a story about class and opportunity and the options that young people have and don't have.
And in addition to the class and even the drugs that can really devastate these kind of communities, the social economics, you know, it's also classified as a lesbian film, an LGBT audience-friendly thing to go see. Did you personally have any frustrations with current or past lesbian films that you wanted to rectify, you know, with your own film to show, you know, I wasn't satisfied with the way they showed this in other films, or this wasn't given enough time, so I want to do this in my movie to make sure this is a good portrayal of what I want the community to look like?
Interesting. No, I definitely don't think I was doing any comparing, but I would say I wanted to believe every moment. You know, obviously you want that when you're directing, but then again, you want it in the editing room, I think I was just trying to tell the most honest story that I could tell. And I think that my actresses, Brita and Lola, were both very responsible about being as authentic as possible to the love story, you know, and so it was wonderful to work with them in that way. But I think there have been some fantastic lesbian films that have come before us. You know, I love, you know, classics like Go Fish. And so I'm honored to become part of that genre, hopefully.
How has the feedback been so far?
The feedback is overall really great and very consistent, which is interesting. Always people have questions about the ending and want to know more and really love the ending, or at least think it's very powerful. And so that's exciting and really something for me to keep in mind as a writer. What did we do right there, you know, for the future? It was very exciting. The other day we performed in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and that's sort of the first screening that I've been to that's been outside of a major city and in the state that we made the film, not the same region, but it was really exciting for me to get positive feedback there because, you know, you worry that people are going to be very critical when something is so close to home. But actually, people were very, very complimentary. I think a lot of people feel that the performances are authentic, and that is very obviously meaningful to me and part of what we were going for. It's funny, with the short film, short films must sort of attract a different audience because I would always get so many technical questions about what we shot on and what software we used for editing and, you know, how much it cost to mix the sound, you know, all of these things that are really not even exactly the realm of the director. And with the feature, that doesn't happen at all. People's questions are very much about story and content. I'm not sure what that's about, but I have noted it.
Well, and I would agree with the audience that, you know, the ending is great and powerful, but at the same time, it leaves you like, oh, dang, like, you know, this is how it finishes. But it's such a good shot, too, just to have her panning out at the end. And, you know, she's trying to find her own way. And taking that feedback as a director and with AWOL as your first full-length film, how was this experience for you? And does it give you more ideas and lessons to dive for future projects?
This experience was amazing and hopefully will never happen again in quite this way, in the sense that we started shooting the film in 2012 and we finished it in 2015. So there were a lot of years in there of trying to simultaneously find the rest of the money we need and get our actress who is becoming a rising star back and have the right season because the landscape is so important to this film. And so we would constantly have like two of those elements and be missing the third. And by the time we got the third, we'd be missing the first, you know. So hopefully that's kind of like a first independent feature kind of scenario. I'm so grateful to all of our cast and crew who stuck with the process. You know, I don't think that we ever felt this isn't going to happen, but there were times that it felt like a little scary or frustrating or sad, not just for me, but for everyone who had stayed committed, you know. So in a sense, I definitely hope that future projects are going to be more, you know, shot from beginning to end within a certain number of weeks. But I've learned so much, you know. I would say, you know, one of the positions I think that gets the littlest credit in all of this is the editor, you know, and the editor is really 100% another writer on the film. And in a sense, also another director on the film, you know, choosing performances. And even though ultimately, yes, as the director, I have the final say, what one editor can do with that footage and what another editor can do is vastly different. And so it took us a long time to find the right editor. And when we finally did, it was a wonderful experience. And so I think, you know, one of the lessons I'll move forward with also is being as prepared for post as possible. You know, obviously you want as a director to be as prepared as possible to go into production, so you're never slowing anyone down making decisions about what the kitchen should look like when you're already shooting in it or something. But to also really have in line who you're going to work with on all the important aspects that happen after you finish shooting, that's, I think, a big lesson for me.
You went about this, as you mentioned, kind of in staggered pieces over some years, and one aspect of that was crowd fundraising. Given the option, I mean, I imagine having people, everyday people, invest their money into it made this project a little more special and personal. Going forward with more independent projects that are possible in the future, would you want to go this route again?
You know, I don't know if I would go that same route again, but I will say the really nice thing that comes of it is that you have a community from very early on who supports the film. And it was actually very exciting for us. There were some extra sort of secret screenings at Tribeca by people who had given us grants or, you know, had other interests in the film somehow that also did screenings. And one of them, which was actually from the Tribeca Film Institute, they had rented this room of like, you know, a 500-seat screening room or something. And they only had, I think, a party list of like 100 people that they wanted to invite. So they allowed us to invite our cast and crew and also our, you know, sort of Indiegogo contact list. So it was this amazing way to say thank you to people who had really been supporting the project for over 4 years at that point, to invite them to come and see the film at the premiere. And so, you know, I would say, you know, it's very hard, obviously, to do crowdfunding and you sort of are putting yourself out there on social media. But there are ways that it's extremely rewarding. And I do think, you know, the fact that you're kind of expected to make a video about your project for the crowdfunding, I think that's also important. You know, we should be able to articulate what we're doing, what the vision is, show some visuals, even if we haven't started shooting at all yet. I think all of those things that kind of force us to talk about the project just help make the story stronger.
Right. Well, I think the hard work and passion certainly comes through from all aspects. I really did enjoy this film, and I wish you the best of luck with the showing in Milwaukee, and I hope you have a good time while you're here.
Thank you. Can't wait. Thanks so much for your time.
Deb Chauval is the director and screenwriter of the independent film AWOL, which premieres tonight at the Oriental Theater, where Chauval will be present. You can also see it on September 20th and October 6th during the Milwaukee Film Festival. She joined Audrey Nowakowski over the phone ahead of her trip to Milwaukee.
Somebody else, someone like you, makes it easy to give.